Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Tonight, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you a story about a married couple who spent many years of their lives on the stage, but found the best years of their lives when they met Smithy. You'll find out all about Smithy in tonight's drama, I Remember the Franzens. Folks, if you'd like to see your youngsters really having fun, start them collecting Hallmark dolls. The thrills they'll get are endless, for Hallmark dolls are friends your youngsters know. They're favorite storybook characters from the land of make-believe. They're gay and colorful, and each doll tells its own gay story and rhyme. Yes, get Hallmark dolls tomorrow. They're the newest kind of greeting card, the gayest gift idea in years. Remember, a sure way to make a hit with any youngster. Send a Hallmark doll every week. And now, to preside over our program, here is your Hallmark host, Tom Shirley.
Thank you, Dan Donaldson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we have a story that's a real heartwarmer. It's by the author of one of the most successful plays Broadway ever saw, I Remember Mama. And like Mama, it's about people you'll never quite forget. Maybe you know folks like the Franzens. Maybe you know a tousled-haired kid like Smithy. Maybe like them, you've got an idea about retiring to a plot of land someday where there's a lot of sunshine and time for a little human kindness. That's what the Franzens wanted, but they never dreamed what would happen. Neither will you until the last page. You're going to like this story, and you're going to like the performances you hear tonight. Raymond Edward Johnson, Grace Keddie, Betty Coulson, and Eddie Bruce have a cast of superb players as the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you another great story on the Reader's Digest radio edition, I Remember the Franzens.
On our way, Lisa, to California and freedom.
And a daughter.
And a little daughter.
That was George and Lisa, husband and wife, actor and actress. And they're going out to California to the retirement and the farm they'd always dreamed of. They hope people will like them out there. They don't realize that some people, some little people, are already talking about them.
You mean they're a husband and wife and they acted like in the movies?
Oh, I think they've been in the movies once or twice. But mostly they're stage actors.
Oh, Smithy, won't it be wonderful to have them here?
Sure, wonderful. Excuse me now, I gotta go feed the hogs.
That was Smithy and his playmate in the next ranch cafe. This is all about Smithy and the actor and actress who moved to California. He was 12 years old and 80 years wise, and this story proved it. Maybe it was because his bachelor uncle with whom Smithy lived always talked to him as though he were an adult. Like this.
Smithy, you got that coffee ready yet?
Here it is, Uncle Ben.
Good. You know, Smithy, the yield from this ranch ain't what it ought to be.
It's all it can be.
Maybe you're right. But it ain't what it ought to be if I'm to get along, clear expenses, and make a little money.
Worried, Uncle Ben?
Bored, maybe. I'm a city man, Smithy. I don't get a kick out of running a ranch that a man ought to get out of his business. Watching things grow don't thrill me the way it does some.
I noticed that.
You know what I like? I like rubbing elbows with a lot of people. Matching wits with them. Winner take all, that's what I like.
You're a city man.
Well, used to be. Yeah, I used to be.
Come on in, Kathy.
Oh, Smithy, see where they've come.
Who's come?
Oh, hello, Mr. Rogers.
Hello, Kathy. Who's come?
The people who bought the Harris farm. They're there. They've moved in.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Now, what of it?
Oh, gee, it's exciting. Isn't it, Smithy?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, gee, because these people are actors. Ben isn't one of an actor. The wife is only an actress.
That's exciting?
Of course it is.
Don't excite me.
Well, do you have to work today, Smithy? Do you?
Well,
of course he has to work. There's the hogs to feed and the grass to cut, dishes to wash. There's chores piled up for Smithy like on every other day.
I have to work today, Stephen.
Oh, she will.
Why? What's so special about today?
Nothing. Yes. Nothing.
Hmm. Thumbs up. What is it?
Well, those people have moved in. Miss Hoxton and Ashley.
Hey. Right. Hey, you said that before. What of it?
Oh, it's all right, Uncle Ben. I'll do my work.
You bet you will.
It's just that Kathy and I had a plan, but it's all right.
What plan?
Oh, we were going to go calling on these new people, kind of.
Well, you can't do it. Not till after you finish your chores, anyhow. Hey, I got to get out in the field now.
Smithy?
What?
How long will it take you to do your chores?
Most all day.
Oh. Smithy.
Yeah?
If somebody helped you, it would take only half the day, wouldn't it?
If.
Well, come on, Smithy. I'll wash the dishes and you feed the hogs. Let's get going.
George.
What is it, Lisa?
Come over here to the window, George.
Wait till I finish hanging this picture. Now, what is it, Lisa?
Look out the window.
Oh, what beautiful country, Lisa. I'll never be sorry we took this place.
Neither will I. But I wasn't asking you here to look at the landscape, George.
No?
No. We're objects of curiosity, apparently.
Really?
Yes. See those children out there?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I see them. Hey, they're nice-looking kids, aren't they?
Yes. And they've been walking back and forth out front there for fully half an hour.
Mm.
Now, they carefully pretend that they're not interested in this house. And see how interested they are, really.
They need instruction. They have a self-conscious stage presence.
You know, George, I couldn't imagine two nicer people for us to make friends with than those children.
No. I'll go call them in.
Oh, you'd do nothing of the sort. You'd embarrass them to death. It would seem as if you'd caught them at something.
Well, how else am I to get them into the house?
Well, go out the back door and sneak along the stone wall and then keep behind the row of bushes by the brook till you come to the end of the road. Then walk up the road to the house again and meet them quite accidentally.
I
don't know. I don't think so. But I don't dare look directly up there.
Have I slumped?
Have you what?
Slumped. You're supposed to stand erect, you know.
Who's supposed to?
Oh, actresses, silly.
What's that got to do with you?
Hello there.
Oh, it's maybe it's him.
Well, how do you do?
How do you do?
Hello, Mr. Francis.
You know who I am, hmm?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, I'm awfully glad I ran into you. I've been wanting to meet some of my new neighbors. Are you brother and sister?
Oh, no. Her name is Kathy Brace.
Well, how do you do, Miss Brace?
How do you do?
And what's your name, sir?
It's not sir, it's Smithy.
No first name?
It's just Smithy.
Well, you know, my wife and I have been hoping that some of the neighbors would drop in. We'd feel honored if you'd be the first one.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Well, how about making it right now? Have you time?
Yes.
Well, let's go then. Lisa, we have visitors.
Oh, how nice.
This is Miss Kathy Brace, and this is Smithy.
Oh, come right in, won't you? Sit down.
Oh, this is a nice room.
Yes, we think the whole place is nice. That's why we bought it. George and I are actors, you know.
I know.
But we're retired now, and we're going to live here for the rest of our lives.
I was hoping you'd have some children.
We wish we did have.
But we're going to have a child soon. We're going to adopt one.
Never heard of that. Adopt one? What's that?
Oh, when people have no children of their own, they can select a child from among all the children who have no parents. The child takes their name and grows up as their son or daughter.
Yes, that's right. And we've had our request in for months now. When we came through San Francisco, we filled out the final form.
And the nice part of it is we'll always be able to tell her that we chose her.
Her?
Oh, yes. We're going to have a little girl, a baby girl with blue eyes.
Oh, that's too bad.
Hmm? I know how you feel, Smithy, old man, but as you get older, you'll find that girls aren't so bad after all.
How about some food? Wouldn't you like some berries and milk and ice cream?
I love some.
I like ice cream, fine. Good. Now, if you like ice cream, Smithy, I'm sure we're going to be great friends.
Will you listen once more, Lisa?
Oh, certainly.
Kathy of Mercy is not strange. It's your office.
No, Kathy. Don't say not strange. Say not strange.
This is silly, isn't it, George?
Sure is, Smithy. And yet I made a living this way for 30 years.
All right, let's act out the court scene, shall we? George, you be Shylock.
Fine.
And Kathy, you be Portia. And you be Antonio.
I don't want to be anybody.
Well, why not, Smithy? Don't you like The Merchant of Venice?
I think it's a swell story, but I don't want to be an actor. I guess I'll go home.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm afraid Smithy doesn't like us. Oh, hello, Smithy.
Hello. I brought you something.
You did? What is it?
Well, it isn't for you exactly, but if you're going to get this baby, well, I have this baby spoon that they used for me when I was a kid. I haven't got any use for it now, so your baby might as well have it, I guess. It's real silver.
Oh, Smithy, it's wonderful. Thank you very much. Oh, you do like us after all, don't you, Smithy?
Well, who says I didn't?
Kathy.
You still doing your chores?
Yeah, but I'm almost through.
Oh, that's good, because we have some place to go.
Where?
The Fransons. The agency lady's there.
What's an agency lady?
That's a lady from the place where you get children to adopt.
Oh, no kidding. Did she bring the baby?
Oh, no, not this time. This time she just interviews George and Lisa. Next time she'll bring the baby. That is, George and Lisa think she will.
Will they know after she's gone when they're going to get the baby?
Uh-huh.
Gee whiz. Help me with the chores, Kathy. And then we'll go over and sit up by the brook and watch to see when the lady leaves. And when she does, we'll go right into George and Lisa and find out when the baby's going to come.
This is the living room.
Mm.
It's just as cool and pleasant as the rest of the house.
We showed you the living room last because now we can sit down in it and talk. Here's a comfortable chair for
you. Oh, thank you. Well, you've seen the house. I imagine you'll agree it's a perfect place for a child.
It is. It's excellent.
I suppose the agency has checked my financial status?
Yes, and there's no complaint on that score.
And the personal references for Lisa and me?
Oh, that was the pleasantest feature of our entire investigation.
Oh?
You people seem to be extremely well-liked by everyone in your profession.
Do you think... Tell me.
I think my wife has stage fright for the first time since I met her in town.
I understand. You're anxious to know whether you can have the baby.
When we can have it, I shouldn't think it would be a question of whether.
Well, there is one other thing.
Oh, it can't be anything that would keep us from having a child. George and I would satisfy whatever it is.
Well, it's embarrassing... Well, what is it? Your ages.
Oh.
On the application blank, Mr. Franson, you give your ages 43. And Mrs. Franson, you say you're 39.
Yes, I suppose we did say that.
Well, I don't like to seem to doubt you, but now that we've actually met...
Those ages are 10 years off in each case.
Well...
We're sorry, but... We've got so used to giving those ages. You see, in the theater, one takes off a year here, a year there, and I was still playing juvenile parts when I was 35, and Lisa was an ingenue for 15 years. We had to pare down our ages. Everyone does.
Well, it won't make any difference, will it? We didn't really mean to lie.
As a lie, it's perfectly excusable.
Oh, well, then.
But your real ages are 53 and 49. No one over 45 is allowed to adopt a child. It's a new rule.
No, Lisa.
Oh,
but I wanted a baby so badly. George and I would be so good to him.
Mr. Franson, I'm so sorry. You'd better stay here with your wife. I'll let myself out.
Oh, George.
Now, Lisa, don't carry on this way. You'll be all right. You'll be all right, honey.
George says, don't help me.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone come in here. I can't see anyone now.
All right. All right, Lisa.
George.
Hello, George. We were just waiting until the lady left so we could...
Go away. Go away, kids. We don't want to see you now. Go away. In just a moment with the second act of tonight's drama, presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. And now, let's eavesdrop on Peg and Grandpa. See what's going on.
Guess what, Grandpa?
Hmm?
I went to see Mary Jo today.
Mary Jo? Well, didn't your mother tell me that she was pretty sick?
Yes, but there she was, Grandpa, propped up in bed having the best time.
What do you mean, Peg?
Well, she's got 6 Hallmark dolls in her collection. So we had lots of fun playing with them and reading the wonderful stories inside all the dolls.
Oh, well, now I see how the time passed so fast. Tell you what, Peg. Why don't we go to the store and get another Hallmark doll to add to her collection?
Then I can take it to her next week.
Fine. Let's go shopping first thing in the morning.
Oh, goody, Grandpa.
Folks, there's magic in an envelope when you send Hallmark dolls. They're the gayest kind of greeting cards, but more, they're colorful dolls from the enchanted land of make-believe. There's Little Bo Peep, Cinderella, Little Red Riding Hood, and the other storybook characters that every youngster knows and loves. Each Hallmark doll stands up by itself, flaunts a bright-colored plume in its hat, and each looks as pretty from the back as the front. Children love to collect Hallmark dolls for another reason, too. Inside each Hallmark doll, there's a new version of a story they know, told all in rhyme. So decide tonight you'll start your youngsters collecting Hallmark dolls. You'll give them a pack of pleasure, yet you pay but 25 cents each for each lovable, colorful Hallmark doll. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy your Hallmark cards. Now back to I Remember the Fransons. Days went by, sunny days and bright, but they might just as well have been stormy days, as far as Smithy and Kathy were concerned. The two children have never gone back to visit George and Lisa since the day when George told them to go away. Here they are, just before supper, in Smithy's yard.
Want to play Tom Sawyer?
No. You want to play Red Cross Nurse?
No.
What do we play then?
I don't know.
We could play actor and actress.
You haven't said that for a long time.
I know it. Makes me think of the Fransons.
You don't want to think of them, do you?
No. Oh, but we certainly had some good times with the Fransons.
Before they got sick of us.
Do you think they really got sick of us? Do you think that's really why they sent us away?
Either that or because they're getting a new baby, so they don't need us anymore.
I wonder. I wonder what they're thinking of now.
Want to play chess, Lisa? Lisa?
No, thanks, George. Do you want to play gin rummy?
I don't feel much like gin rummy.
Then what do we do this evening?
I don't know.
I'd like to have someone here to direct in the scene from Shakespeare.
But you haven't said that for a long time.
I know it.
You were thinking of Kathy and Smithy, weren't you?
Of course.
You don't like to think of them, do you?
No. We certainly had some good times with those kids before they got sick of it.
Lisa.
Huh?
The kids didn't get sick of us, Lisa.
What do you mean?
You know the data agency woman you see?
Yes.
I sent the kids away that day.
What do you mean?
I sent them away. Told them to clear out. They were the ones who rang the bell that time.
Oh, George. And because I was upset...
It wasn't just upset. I was upset myself. More than I was willing to tell you until now.
You had your heart set on the baby, too.
Yes, Lisa. I had my heart set on the baby, too. I guess that's why I was gruff with Kathy and Smithy.
Oh, George, I understand. But see.
What? Well, of course you do. Only you're not the one to say it, but I am. I've got to call up those kids and say that I'm sorry.
Yes, George, yes. And then put me on. I want to invite them to come over here tomorrow. Come in, come in.
Oh, it's awful good to be here again.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here again. Let's go in and see George.
Hello, George.
Hello, Kathy. Smithy.
Hello, George.
Hello.
We saw you coming up the walk, so we got the ice cream ready for you.
Well, I'm ready for the ice cream.
Thanks for that.
Oh, gee, it sure is good to be back here.
I feel the same way.
You missed us?
I'll say we have. You know what Kathy missed most?
What?
Acting out those plays.
Oh. I'll bet you didn't miss that, Smithy.
Well, no, but I feel so good being here, I'd just as soon try my hand at it anyway.
Do you mean that, Smithy?
Well, just this once.
Oh, fine. We never have acted out the court scene. We'll do that as soon as you finish your ice cream.
Wonderful.
Now, look, kids, I owe you an explanation.
Oh, it's all right, George. You told us over the phone you were sorry.
I know, but I didn't explain. You see, the day that I sent you two away, the agency woman had been here.
Oh, that's what we came to find out about that day. When are they going to let you have the baby?
They're not going to let us have the baby, Kathy.
What?
That's right. That's why I sent you away that day. Lisa and I were too upset to see anybody.
Oh, what's the matter with you people? Why shouldn't they let you have a baby?
We're too old, Smithy.
Well, that's silly.
Oh, no, it isn't. I can understand it. It's for the child's good, so that a child shan't have old parents.
Gee whiz.
Yeah. Well, that's that. There's no need of thinking about it. What do you say? Finish up the ice cream and we'll play that court scene, huh?
I don't want to play the court scene.
What?
But you said you would, Smithy.
I know, but I don't want to now. I want to go home. Maybe I'll be back later. Goodbye.
I'll be darned.
That was sudden.
Wonder what got into him.
Don't ask me. But you'll find out someday. Smithy's a deep one. Someday he'll come over and tell you why he left like that.
That does it. You're a fine wife, Lisa, but I've got one complaint.
What's that?
You always beat me at gin, Rummy, and you refuse to play chess. Well, it's good then.
Oh, yes, I'm getting tired.
Oh. Who's that this time of night?
Well, let's go and see. Smithy.
Hello, Lisa. Hello, George.
Smithy, what are you doing here at this hour?
Yes. And what are those bundles you have?
They're my clothes.
Your clothes? What in the world?
I did a lot of thinking this afternoon. You can't adopt a baby because you're too old. Now, if you were 12 years younger, would they let you adopt a baby?
Why, yes.
And if the baby was 12 years older, then it'd be all right, wouldn't it? It'd be all the same.
Well, what are you getting at, Smithy?
I'm 12.
What do you mean?
Well, people are always adopting children. Why can't it be the other way around once in a while? Why can't children adopt people?
That might be a good idea.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm adopting some parents. And I choose you.
But, what about your uncle?
Oh, I asked my uncle, and he doesn't care because he wants to move to the city anyway. He's just been waiting for me to be old enough so he doesn't have to take care of me. He didn't know I was coming tonight, but it wouldn't make any difference. So, if you want to... I'd like to have you call me Lloyd. That's my real first name. If you're going to be my parents...
Lloyd. Well, now, Lloyd, welcome. Welcome.
Isn't there some kind of a ceremony? Shouldn't you... carry me into the house or something?
But that's a ceremony for...
For what?
Oh, nothing. I think it's a wonderful ceremony for what's happening here.
Yeah, so do I. Come on, Smithy. Up you go. Ooh, you're heavy. You're a heavy baby, son.
To Raymond, Edward Johnson, Grace Keddy, Betty Filson, Eddie Bruce, and the cast for a great show. We'll remember the Fransons a long time. The story gives you something to think about, doesn't it? When a kid can choose his parents. Makes you wonder if our own kids had to choose, whether they'd always choose us. Well, it's something for us to aim at. I'd like to be sure they would.
Folks, stop a minute. Think of all the youngsters you know. Is one of them sick? Could one of them be lonesome? Would you like to say happy birthday or maybe just hello? Then send Hallmark dolls. Children love to get them, delight in collecting them. Remember, a sure way to make a hit with any youngster is to send a Hallmark doll every week. They're only 25 cents a piece. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy your Hallmark cards.
This is Tom Shirley inviting you to be with us again next week. At that time, you will hear A Message for Karen, one of the most dramatic and one of the most romantic love stories ever told. It's refreshing in its simplicity, breathtaking in its telling. So be with us next week for another fine dramatic program presented by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards.
Was dramatized by Robert Sinadella from Catherine Ford's article in the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. This is Dan Donaldson speaking for the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Buy Hallmark dolls where you buy Hallmark cards. And remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Stay tuned for Herbert Marshall in The Man Called X, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. This